Welcome to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Content Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Thank you, folks, for joining us this week on Building the Bakken, the most trusted energy brand in the Bakken today. As I mentioned a moment ago, Building the Bakken is part of the Crude Life Content Network, and it's not a political program, rather an informational brand. No polarizing talk, just conversations about the facts of the energy industry. Here at the Crude Life Content Network, we generate positive energy. With programs like Building the Bakken, we're able to tell the stories about the people, the communities, and the companies within the industry, those that are involved with the evolution of the Bakken oil field, the oil and gas industry, and Shale Play USA. On today's episode, we talk with Dan Hetherington with SEH, our weekly Davis Refinery update. Hetherington talks about what's next with the Davis Refinery, the big project happening in Belfield, North Dakota, the first refinery in 50 years, and it's coming to Belfield, North Dakota. All right, then we talk with Roger Johnson, president of the National Farmers Union. He addresses a major issue with opioids in rural America and how that's affecting, of course, agriculture, but also the energy industry as well, because much of rural America is now ag and energy. We then carry the conversation with Roger Johnson with the relationship between ag and energy. Of course, he talks about ethanol and how ethanol is more of a competition now to oil and gas than an additive. Also, whatever happened to switchgrass? A very infotainment interview with Roger Johnson. A little entertaining, also a lot of information. When's the last time you talked about switchgrass? Huh? Exactly. And then we talk with Chris Eli with Wellsite.com. He explains how the recent signing of a major energy service company in Saudi Arabia will connect and bridge the global gap for small oil and gas companies. All that plus much more on today's episode of Building the Bakken Radio. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Content Network. Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Christy Huber, president of the United Way of Cass Clay, says about Hatch coaching.
When you get to know Eric, and he is so willing to share with you how growing up, you know, his life was impacted by an outstanding mom and the challenges that he maybe faced. When he's willing to open up and talk about those things, you're immediately drawn in. And that's that vulnerability that I think that he has publicly said, it's okay to be yourself. And it's okay for you to make mistakes along the way.
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com. Or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Content Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, we talk with Dan Hetherington with SEH with our weekly Davis Refinery update.
So we talk global, we talk national, we talk state. Let's talk a little local. You guys had the Q&A a few weeks ago. I've been doing some calls on the Bakken Barbecue's behalf, doing some interviews. People are chattering about the Davis Refinery. When's it going to be built? That sort of thing. So let's get those Belfield supporters their update, man. What's going on the local level?
Yeah, the people in the local area up there, and actually I'm going to expand on that. The vast majority of, well, everybody we deal with, the vast majority of the people that we interact with are supportive of the project. And yep, we did have a Q&A. It was a real brief event, but we wanted to make sure that the locals understood that, you know, we were trying to provide them with as much information as we can, because you're right, people are walking around and they're asking questions, and they'd ask people that, you know, they think know. Maybe they're asking, you know, some of the local elected officials, what do you guys know and what's happening? So we went down there, we explained our status, where we were with the responses and what our expectations were for, you know, the review from the state. And we really try to be as open as we can with everybody as far as for the progress that's being made, because we're getting asked a lot. So it's going very well. We are in exactly the position that I mentioned earlier. We did all of our end of it. It went very, very well. It's a lot of work, and the state is working on their end of it, and we expect that's going well from everything we know as well. And we think that I can't tell you when that's gonna get issued, Jason, or when that final resolution is. But I would say that our understanding and of the amount of work that's necessary to make it happen, we're comfortable that things are going along as expected. So we're doing good.
Instead of asking you, I was going to say, what's next? Maybe I'll phrase this a little bit different. And the one thing I do want to mention is the weather is getting nice out. There's some activity. And, Belfield's not a huge town. So, you start putting in 30 workers doing some construction, just that on a basic level. There's people that need to buy supplies and that sort of thing to accommodate this. Because my understanding is you guys are about ready to go when you get the green light. So instead of saying timelines and everything, I guess, what are your guys' expectations? Because a lot of the different people in Belfield and even in Dickinson, preparation needs to be done. And, here we're waiting on the Department of Health and the state and everything. So what are your guys' expectations in all this?
I would express it in desires. So expectations and desires. We want to get in the ground as soon as possible. And there's a ton of advantages to it. We want to get our suppliers, a thumbs up as soon as possible. We want the local service providers to be fully aware of what's happening as soon as possible so that they can make preparations. And we've, assured all of them, hey, you're going to hear it as soon as we do. You're going to know as soon as we do. We want to get in the ground as soon as possible because everybody knows that, up here in North Dakota, we are in a situation where, yes, winters last a little bit longer, and it could hit us a little bit earlier. We could get snow in October, November, start seeing some nasty freezing stuff in that December time frame. So we want to get in the ground. We want to get our footings and foundations in place. We want to get all of our erosion control in place. We want to try to get some established vegetation where we can. We want our stormwater ponds in place. So there's a lot of things that we need to do to make that happen. We have to get our underground utilities in place. And our roads and, the infrastructure that's necessary to support us over the winter so that hopefully we can be somewhat enclosed so that when we do get hit with the hard snowstorms and the cold freezing temperatures that we can be as safe as possible, where the employees and the construction teams are working as enclosed as possible or as in heated environments as much as possible. So there's a lot of reasons why we want to get going very, very fast. And right now, so our desires are to go as soon as we possibly can and to get that construction activity underway as soon as possible. And, but we are understanding. The activity that we're asking the state to complete is a lot of work. And so our desires are to go as soon as possible. We're kind of just saying, okay, let us know. Let us know how it can go. Now, they've been very cooperative. I don't want to make it sound like they haven't been telling us. They say, well, we get, little updates every now and then, such as, it's still in the process, and we understand that. So we desire to get in the ground sooner than later, but we understand that there's a lot of work that they need to accomplish.
To listen to the full-length interview with Dan Hetherington, or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. I'm thinking I'm drinking, I'm spinning, I'm grinning. Oh, my God, stops when I go. The music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. The Moody River Band has a new album hitting the downloadable streets on April 1st. For more information on the Moody River Band, their links, and their music, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com and click on the Musicians tab. This is the Moody River Band. I'm walking, I'm talking, I'm smoking, I'm joking with the people that I know. Jason Spies, the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Let's bring in Jason Spies, who is a multimedia journalist in North Dakota. Jason, what's your thought on this?
My dad always listens to Jason Spies.
No one does an interview like Jason Spies.
Jason Spies is the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Love listening to Jason Spies on the radio, and if I miss him there, I catch him online.
I don't know what justifies being placed in history books, Jason, but in my book, it's in there. This is a good thing.
Is your boss watching this? You need a raise.
Mark your calendars for June 15th. That's the Bakken Barbecue. Mark your calendars today, June 15th. The Bakken Barbecue coming to Dickinson, North Dakota.
Well, you're my pineapple, baby. Let me be your mango man. You're my pineapple, baby. Let me be your mango man.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Content Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, Roger Johnson, president of the National Farmers Union.
So, I grew up on a family farm in the middle of North Dakota that my grandfather homesteaded. I farmed that most of my life, and while I was doing that, I was also it's important for part of this to understand that in the 80s, which were a very difficult period for agriculture, I worked as a farm credit counselor and sat down with farmers who were having trouble paying bills and worked on budgets for them, and then went in and met with their lenders and worked out solutions that were better than a bankruptcy or a foreclosure. That was kind of what we were there to do. And then after that, and I farmed during this time, so that was kind of a part-time job. Then eventually I was elected as North Dakota's Commissioner of Agriculture, served a dozen years, and now I've been out in Washington, D.C. for the last 9 years as president of National Farmers Union. The last couple of years that I was Agriculture Commissioner, I also was involved in the leadership of NASDA, the National Association of State Department of Agriculture, eventually serving as president of that organization. And so we, you know, we kind of have our fingers in everything related to agriculture.
Yeah, and, you know, we talked about the human side of things, and that's where we're going to go right now, because the bullet point is suicide rates for farmers have more than doubled of veterans. I mean, when I saw that headline, that grabs you because, of course, the suicide rate of veterans gets all the headlines.
Yeah.
And we're not talking about importance here or trying to rank them, but it's a shocking headline. So talk to me a little bit about more than just the headline. What's going on out there?
Sure. You kind of need to start, I think, with the economic stress. But there are lots of stressors in that. But let me talk about the economics first. In the last 5 years, net farm income, on average, in the U.S., has dropped by more than 50%. That's a dramatic decrease in net farm income. Net farm income, in fact, the median net farm income this year, meaning half of all the farmers are above, half of all the farmers are below, median net farm income this year is projected to be a negative $1,300. So those folks who say, I have a job so I can farm, for many of them, that is literally, absolutely true. And so the economics are very difficult right now for farmers. And, you know, prices have collapsed by about 50% in that 4 or 5 year time frame as well. But it's not just that. I mean, family farmers in particular, they have sort of the weight of family generations before them who've always been on the farm and been successful. Now they're struggling. There's been the stress of all these things that are outside of your control. You know, it's the weather, it's the markets. Those are the two really big things that you have very little control over. You don't have any control over markets. You have some control over how you market. But if the market never presents a profitable price, that's obviously a lot of stress. And so you've just got a lot of stressors. And on top of that, we are now in a real crisis with opioids in agriculture. Zippy Duvall, who's the president of the American Farm Bureau Federation, and I, as the president of the National Farmers Union, got together and decided we were going to work jointly on this problem because it's such a big problem in agriculture. We started by commissioning a survey. And here's the really interesting information on that survey. Most people think that drug problems are predominantly an inner city problem. That's certainly what I always thought, because growing up, that's what it was. That's no longer the case. In fact, rural America has a larger per capita basis opioid addiction problem than urban America. In rural America, half of all respondents in this survey said that they were directly impacted in one way or another by the opioid addiction. They were addicted themselves, someone in their family, maybe someone who was in their very close circle of friends or acquaintances. In that group, a subset of rural America are farmers and ranchers. Farmers, in the survey, 74% of them, so three-fourths of all farmers, are directly impacted. Themselves, a family member, someone who works on that farm, they know or they are directly impacted by the opioid problem. And it's a really, really big problem. And I would argue that in a lot of ways that opioid addiction problem is another huge stressor that leads to suicide. It might be an overdose, but frankly, the overdoses, I don't think get counted in suicide numbers. But you can imagine if you've got a family member who is addicted and you just got this enormous stress surrounding it. So the interesting statistic that you mentioned at the beginning, Jason, about farmer suicide rate being higher than for veteran suicide rates, farmer suicide rates are five times that of the general population. So it's a really, really big problem, and it's something that we're trying to focus on. Zippy and I have joined up with Ann Hazlett, who is in charge of this at USDA. She reports directly to Secretary Perdue. And we're doing a number of sessions around the country to sort of bring awareness to this problem. And we're working to get help through Congress in different ways. There's likely going to be a piece in the Farm Bill. There are pieces in other appropriations that have come out. We're going to do what we can to try and address this crisis.
Mr. Roger Johnson, hold that thought for a second or two. We got to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Roger Johnson, president of the National Farmers Union. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Content Network. Music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. The Moody River Band has a new album hitting the downloadable streets on April 1st. For more information on the Moody River Band, their links, and their music, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. This is the Moody River Band.
All we need is four wheels, a full gas tank, and a few miles left. Where all the lonesome souls go? Who wrote their songs of living? And now it's our souls left. For the giving, we already know how it's gone. Let's put our lives on hold and run.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Administrator, for lots of things. First of all, for being here. And once again, I never cease to be impressed with the incredible depth of knowledge you have on the details of so many things. It seems to me, however, the more details you know, the more some people demand, and they expect you to know everything. And I have to say, in my years, both on this committee and previous committees, I've never had a cabinet official that knew as much about the policies that your agency is implementing as you have with yours. So thank you for that. I also want to thank you for your incredible, not just understanding of, but commitment to cooperative federalism. It is something that has been lost in previous administrations, including by some of your critics that were predecessors to you.
Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Christy Huber, president of the United Way of Cass Clay, says about Hatch coaching.
One of our programs was where we asked Eric Hatch to come in and speak to this group, and it ended up being a group of about 90 emerging leaders, and talk to them about leadership lessons. And Eric just did a phenomenal job of reaching out and talking about leadership from a very personal perspective. He is one of our best leaders in the community talking about being vulnerable and what that has meant to him in his leadership journey.
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com. Or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Jason Spies, the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Let's bring in Jason Spies, who is a multimedia journalist in North Dakota. Jason, what's your thought on this?
My dad always listens to Jason Spies.
No one does an interview like Jason Spies.
Jason Spies is the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Love listening to Jason Spies on the radio, and if I miss him there, I catch him online.
You know, I don't know what justifies being placed in history books, Jason, but in my book, it's in there. This is a good thing.
Is your boss watching this? You need a raise.
Mark your calendars for June 15th. That's the Bakken Barbecue. Mark your calendars today, June 15th, the Bakken Barbecue coming to Dickinson, North Dakota. Mr. Roger Johnson, hold that thought for a second or two. We got to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Roger Johnson, president of the National Farmers Union. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Content Network. Switch gears here quickly and talk a little bit about ag and energy, and I'd like to just kind of approach at 5,000-foot view. You've been in agriculture for a long time. You've been in North Dakota, where they have had some energy activity come and go. You've probably witnessed everything from reclamation to bills along your day. So talk to me a little bit about, you know, what you guys from the Farmers Union and agricultural world, kind of that relationship.
Well, obviously, you don't farm without fuel. And so there's a very direct connection there. But, you know, one of the things that came out of the 80s was this enormous focus on the part of farmers on trying to add value to what they produce, because there was so much despair in the 80s related to markets and things like that. And there was this feeling that we really needed to take the commodities that we're producing and add value to them in some fashion, because that's where more profit frequently is found in a supply chain. And there are literally hundreds, it wouldn't be a stretch, I suppose, to say thousands of different things that were tried in terms of adding value to what we produce in agriculture. But the one that has been sort of a shining star, a great success story, has been the biofuels industry, where if you're talking about ethanol, it's taking corn, converting it into ethanol, and then taking that ethanol and adding it into gasoline. But that ethanol industry has really blossomed in this country, and in many ways has significantly helped the oil industry. And I'll come back to that in just a second, because it isn't just ethanol that's in this biofuels category. There's also biodiesel, which is taking oil products from soybeans. You take the soybean oil, or it might be canola oil, or any other crop that is an oil crop, and taking that oil and refining it in such a fashion that it's compatible with diesel fuel, and then you add that biofuel into the diesel fuel product, or you add the ethanol into gasoline. When I say that they have been a benefit to the oil industry, I think pretty much everyone in the oil industry would agree, but where we might disagree is at what point. Let me be more clear. One of the big challenges that the oil industry had relative to gasoline was how you add more octane to it. And if you take those products, MTBE is a good example of one of these additives that some 3 decades ago or so was found to be a real problem. And it was leaching into groundwater, and it was also more expensive to add to gasoline than was ethanol. And so the industry very quickly accepted ethanol as an additive to gasoline that replaced some of those refined products that had, you know, a number of sort of environmental concerns associated with them. And as long as it was at relatively low percentages, the oil industry was very openly embraced the addition of ethanol to gasoline. What's happened in recent years is the ethanol industry has really grown pretty dramatically and is now to the point where it's more than 10% of a gallon of gasoline. And so suddenly you've got the oil industry that sort of rearing back and say, well, wait a minute, you know, we thought this was just going to be an additive and that was fine. But when it gets to be even greater percentage of gasoline, the oil industry is tending to look at that as direct competition in what otherwise is a pretty concentrated, some would say a monopolistic kind of market in terms of having control over transportation fuels. And so there's that gets us to sort of present day, where EPA is the federal agency that regulates the Clean Air Act, and ethanol being added into gasoline is covered through an amendment to the Clean Air Act called the Renewable Fuel Standard. And it presumed that there would be increasing amounts of ethanol and other biofuels added into the liquid transportation fuels in this country. And there is now this huge contention. Many of us in agriculture are arguing that we need to continue to add ethanol and other biofuels because the farm economy is in such tough shape. So that's certainly one of the reasons, but also because the fuel becomes cleaner and cleaner and better for the air and the environment as you add more of these biofuels to the oil industry. And so today it's sort of morphed into this debate that's even reached to the White House, and the president is negotiating with representatives of the oil industry and of the biofuels industry and trying to come to some sort of an agreement that makes them both happy, which is not an easy task. I mean, many of us in agriculture are saying we need to go to even higher blends of E15, E20, E30, because you get better and better performance, especially for these high compression engines, as you add more and more octane. So that's the spot we're at. The president has just announced that he plans to do year-round, to ask EPA to approve year-round sales of E15. It's one of the things the biofuels industry has been asking. But at the same time, you've got this big debate now that's swirling around because EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt has apparently been granting these small refiner waivers, which were intended to be for sort of economic distressed, very small refiners. And he's redefining that to be small refining plants, even though they might be owned by some of the most profitable and largest oil companies. And so that's sort of at play out there as well. I think my final thought here is that there's just a lot of stress in agriculture right now, and folks need to understand that. I think the challenge that we're facing right now in Washington, D.C. is how did Congress write a farm bill that's going to adequately address the economic pressure that farmers are feeling and facing right now.
To listen to the full-length interview with Roger Johnson, president of the National Farmers Union, or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Building the Bakken Radio is part of the Crude Life Content Network. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter. All those social media links are available at thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Content Network. Music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. The Moody River Band has a new album hitting the downloadable streets on April 1st. For more information on the Moody River Band, their links, and their music, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. This is the Moody River Band.
Well, I was born near a harvest moon. Yes, I was born on the first day of my life. And I was 2 years old when John Lennon died.
Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Christy Huber, president of the United Way of Cass Clay, says about Hatch coaching.
One of our programs was where we asked Eric Hatch to come in and speak to this group, and it ended up being a group of about 90 emerging leaders, and talk to them about leadership lessons. And Eric just did a phenomenal job of reaching out and talking about leadership from a very personal perspective. He is one of our best leaders in the community talking about being vulnerable and what that has meant to him in his leadership journey.
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com. Or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Jason Spies, the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Let's bring in Jason Spies, who is a multimedia journalist in North Dakota. Jason, what's your thought on this?
My dad always listens to Jason Spies.
No one does an interview like Jason Spies.
Jason Spies is the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Love listening to Jason Spies on the radio, and if I miss him there, I catch him online.
You know, I don't know what justifies being placed in history books, Jason, but in my book, it's in there. This is a good thing.
Is your boss watching this?
Nothing.
You need a raise.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Content Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, Chris Eli with WellSite.com.
Outstanding. Thank you for joining us today. And boy, I never thought I would be following up so quickly on this story about WellSite and CrudeCoin, but I got a press release and I just wanted to follow up and find out that this is really happening, isn't it? This CrudeCoin cryptocurrency phenomenon is really happening. Did I see that you guys signed a partner in Saudi Arabia?
We did. We signed an exclusive partnership with Power Team. Power Team is a large oil and gas supplier over in Saudi Arabia and the Kingdom, and they're well connected, and they we believe that they'll be the partner that we need and the agent we need in the country to elevate our relationships and build our future business in the country of Saudi Arabia.
And let's just recap really quick this crude coin technology, you know, what it's about. Of course, people heard of Bitcoin and a few of the others that were the early adapters out in the marketplace. But what's been happening is a lot of these different industries are becoming very niche or having kind of a specific cryptocurrency, if you will. Am I kind of following that right? Is that kind of the evolution of this Bitcoin cryptocurrency thing?
That's correct. We believe that, you know, as we're going around every day, we have more suppliers struggling with days outstanding, all the inefficiencies that the oil and gas supply chain has. There's a lot of waste. There's a lot of people that understand that, well, they have to become profitable at lower oil prices. So with the continued pressure from the oil and gas drillers for companies or for service companies to remain efficient and become more efficient, innovation is key. It's essential. So blockchain or distributed ledger technology is really becoming the real big winner in this, and people are starting to realize the potential for it. In this case, is that we're onboarding our current suppliers to the blockchain and distributed ledger technology, and we're also getting new suppliers joining every day. Yesterday, we had a supplier join, and they're very keen on accepting KuCoin as for payment. So these are things that. As the technology evolves, as we standardize, as we become more standardized, smaller companies are easier to standardize than the larger ones in a lot of cases. So, for instance, we can introduce technology on a blockchain for smaller companies very rapidly. And so even though the transactions may be smaller in nature, that doesn't mean that they're any less important in proving out smart contracts and blockchain technology in an everyday sense in oil and gas.
Are people like caught off guard that, hey, this isn't some natural gas technology? You're talking about, you know, logistics and money technology here. I think people are caught off guard by that, aren't they?
Yeah, I believe they are. And you know, we've, as an industry, we've been really good at coming up with investing our money into technology at the bit, but we really haven't been good at investing our technology, investing our money in technology that is going to improve back office, efficiency. And that's one thing that, you know, the agreement that we signed with in Saudi Arabia is so big because it aligns us with the initiatives of the government of Saudi Arabia, and they placed emphasis on promoting further strategic initiatives towards digital transformation within their supply chain groups. And for us, we're well positioned to onboard suppliers that are already currently providing, products and services to Aramco in a way that this is going to be a substantial gain for them as far as creating a standardized process to onboard suppliers to a blockchain technology and then to transact with them more efficiently. So it all means it's all aligned with the strategic alignment of the government of Saudi Arabia as well as the Power Team group that is our agent there. Their initiatives are to transition digitally into a more efficient partner with Aramco. So it's a perfect fit.
To listen to the full-length interview with Chris Eli with WellSite.com or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Content Network. The music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. The Moody River Band has a new album hitting the downloadable streets on April 1st. For more information on the Moody River Band, their links, and their music, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com and click on the Musicians tab. This is the Moody River Band.
It's the same reason the sky is blue when you believe in two and there's only you cuddling. Got your mind blown. Mind blown, your mind blown. I'll show you something that's never been shown. Your mind blown, your mind blown. And that's all you need to know.
And that concludes this week's episode of Building the Bakken Radio. Building the Bakken will be back next week at this time on this radio station. For a full list of our media affiliates, visit buildingthebakken.com. That's buildingthebakken.com. And from the staff at Building the Bakken, my name is Jason Spies. We're asking you to be safe, be happy, and make it a great day. Thank you, folks, for joining us. We'll see you next week.
To get your mind blown.
Seems like no matter who I talk to in the world of business these days, people are telling me about the success of Hatch Coaching. Listen to what Jeff Schatz, superintendent of the Fargo Public Schools, has to say about Eric Hatch and Hatch Coaching.
I just thought that his story about how he talks about the struggles that he and his family went through and having children and how, you know, everybody has a hot mess and how do you deal with that in life? And I just thought that really resonates well with, you know, folks. And so I thought that would be a great message for everybody to hear. Well, then beyond that, I've also seen Eric do some of the other things that he does with emceeing and leading other types of things that he does. He does coaching, I know, with students where the principals have hired him to come in and do that. So I just extended that opportunity for him to be the MC too. He was very well received.
For more information, call 701-212-1572 or visit CoachingWithHatch.com. That's CoachingWithHatch.com.
Jason Spies, the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Let's bring in Jason Spies, who is a multimedia journalist in North Dakota. Jason, what's your thought on this?
My dad always listens to Jason Spies.
No one does an interview like Jason Spies. Jason Spies is the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Love listening to Jason Spies on the radio, and if I miss him there, I catch him online.
You know, I don't know what justifies being placed in history books, Jason, but in my book, it's in there. This is a good thing.
Is your boss watching this? You need a raise.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota, is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet. The Davis Refinery, a project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.